Blog Talk Radio.
Getting older, y'all, people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Yeah. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found.
All right, brother, let's do this, man. How the brothers doing tonight? Let me calm y'all down a minute. I know everybody's really excited about the big whatever that was last night. But first of all, guys, let's get into some. What's that noise? We got to mute one of you. All right. Okay, brother.
All right, we behave.
Thanks for joining us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll listen to the Brothers for Real radio show, the Brothers for Real After the Debate radio show. And, of course, today's date is 9/30/2020. That means you have only about a month to get yourself together and decide who you're going to vote for. That was a joke. Get yourself together and get ready to, sir.
Don't say nothing about nobody got nothing to decide. Anybody who still needs to decide, they don't need to be on the red. They need to be at a hospital. But go ahead.
Thank you, man. Something going on with the phone, man. We got to get that cleared up. Because I really want to hear what you're saying, but it's getting a little feedback. And I'm sure everybody else wants to hear what you're saying. So let's clear that up a little bit. So, guys, what about this? Our mother celebrated her 100th birthday this past Saturday. Wasn't that Saturday? Yeah. This past Saturday, mother celebrated her 100th birthday. Man, you're talking about a beautiful sight. It's thanks to COVID, or no thanks to COVID-19. We couldn't get to
touch them. It's a beautiful thing.
We had to reach through the glass window with our eyes and love her. But that was the most beautiful sight in the whole wide world. What you saying, Robert?
I was commenting that it was the most beautiful thing. I got there a day late, and I was able to participate in this. I call it Mother's 100th Birthday Weekend. So we extended it another day and went by Joseph's, had some food on the grill, and caught Daniel and Leon. We went back over there again on Sunday, and it was just, even though I was only saw her about a half hour outside the door. But, you know, when you're looking at somebody who's been on this earth 100 years, a half hour is like you have to calculate it into a different type of mathematical equation. That half hour to me was like a year, reminiscing and going back and remembering the time, the good times, everything she had done for us. And so even though it was on half an hour, you have to take it into a context of what you were experiencing. From that standpoint, it was half hour times 10, and I enjoyed every second. And I appreciate you brothers and sisters doing the right thing by giving mom her due. I'm just glad I was able to participate.
Great, man. Let's give it up for Joseph and his family, man, for pulling this together. Those guys pulled this together, man. And like I say, Sunday went over there and ate his grilled food and that corn on the cob. Man, you talking about some good corn on the cob, man.
And Joseph can cook. Hey, why didn't we know Joseph could cook?
Joseph has always cooked broccoli. I knew he could cook broccoli.
Wait a minute. Broccoli doesn't count, man. Come on. Broccoli. I didn't know broccoli was cooked. No, but I had some ribs. I had some barbecue chicken, and Pat brought some stuff out of the kitchen. I don't know what it was. It had some tomatoes and some salmon on top of it, and some Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, I know that was, but it was good, boy. It was good. A slice of tomato, that salmon, and something on top of the salmon. I don't know what that was, but I ate it. It was good.
It was good. So, man, that Joseph, man,
what you saying?
That worth the trip right there.
It was. What you saying over there, Curtis? How you doing, man?
Hey, everybody. God is good.
What's up, bub?
Hey, how y'all doing? How's everybody doing? I hope everybody's listening tonight. Of course, we're going to have to get some serious business eventually. So I hope you all get bear with us as we just appreciate our mother.
Nothing more serious than this, in my opinion.
She turned 100 years old. And I just want to put this in another perspective. When you look at what we have to deal with when it comes to people who are of color, the descendants of slaves, for someone to live 100 years in this country, as racist as it is, all the stress that comes with it, you got to deal with jealousy, racism, hatred, all different types of stress and pressure. For someone to live 100 years, that's a wise person. There's so much wisdom that comes with that. In order for you to survive 100 years in this hell place. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. What you saying, Joseph? How you doing tonight, Joseph?
Yeah, man, I'm doing great. I'm doing great, man. I just want to thank all you brothers for all what you have been doing over the years. And I'm sure you all made Mama proud, and I'm sure Daddy is in heaven looking down on you. and saying what a God good job he did with you, brother.
And God bless you, brother.
And even as we were discussing, even as we were celebrating Mother's 100th birthday, and I mean, I really, you know, some got a little bit emotional thinking about it, because when I was born, Mother was 32 years old, and you know what a 32 year old is these days. You're talking about a 32 year old with 8 children, and what I really started to think about was put that into perspective with her being married to Daddy, that Mama stayed in the home and raised her children, and Daddy never she never had to work outside of the household. She never had to work outside the household. Daddy would go out and sell insurance. Of course, he was a preacher. He was a sharecropper. He sold graves. He worked at he did distribution down at the welfare office. Whatever he could do legally to put food on the table. And the biggest thing was he didn't never require Mama to work outside of the home. And that's a testament to how great a man that Daddy was. Because, you know, you got a lot of men now. My wife, she's going to do something. And, of course, and that's the reason a lot of times so many of our kids, you know, are not performing the way they should be, because there's nobody in the home to supervise them. And I just thank Mama and Daddy for all that they have done for us. And sometimes I feel like I should be doing a whole lot better than I'm doing, because, you know, because it came from where the mom and the dad is concerned. I can't think of no way you could have had a better set of parents.
No, it's not possible.
True that.
It's not possible.
Not possible. Well, let's look at it this way, Joe.
We can testify. It's not possible.
Well,
you know, because we see so much hypocrisy now. I mean, you know, we just see so much hypocrisy. We hear people talking about family value. We hear people talking about Bible. We hear people talking about Christianity, and none of them are living it the way we saw it right up front and center every day. And I've never heard my mama gossiping. I never heard her lying. I never seen her trying to scheme. She never felt like she had to tear somebody down to lift herself up. I remember her visiting throughout the community, going around to see all the different people in the community. I just remember just seeing a woman that really lives what we keep preaching about, and we seldom see it being lived today. So it was just we've just been blessed, Robert. I didn't mean to take
No, I was actually going to comment on what you had stated earlier, that when you live from 1920 to 2020, 2020, imagine all of the things that you had to witness and endure.
Exactly.
We're talking about depression. We're talking about going through a depression, a few wars. We're talking about the race riots, Wall Street. We're talking about the 1964, the civil rights era when there was a riot and Jim Crow, and then you can't get a job. You got to worry about your kids going out here being killed or lynched. You got to worry about not being able to put food on the table. 100 years of that.
Yeah.
And Robert.
100 years.
And Robert, and guess what? Of course, you know this, but the same year Mama was born was the first year women had the right to vote.
That's what I'm talking about. You went through 100 years of all of this stuff this country can put you through, and she's still standing. She's still here. Lord have mercy. Yeah.
She was born in 1920. I think the riot, the massacre in Tulsa was 1921. Dad was born in 1916. The Birth of a Nation came 1915. The rise
Check this out, Curtis. Mom's was when her mom, our grandma Lily, was carrying Mom. She was just they were just coming out of the last pandemic.
Yeah, that's right.
That's something she won. That's right. The last pandemic ended in 1919.
She lived through pandemics. She lived through depression. She lived through oppression. You name it. And she is still here, and we are just blessed. I mean, y'all, I don't know if we meant to take this much time on Mama, but I tell you, I'll always love my mom.
And you know
what?
Leon,
go ahead.
Let me say this.
Yeah,
Daniel's 55 years old, right? And he's
right
a baby. Daniel, no, he's 55 because I'm 12 years older than he is. So Daniel's 55. Daniel's 55 years old, and of course, he's a baby. But this is the point that I'm getting ready to make. Mama was born 55 years out of slavery. Slavery in 1865.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on paper.
Well, here's,
only
what 55 I was say, guys. Right. Here's what I was gonna say. I may be too old to remember it, but all that stuff you were saying, Mama probably went through and experienced. We never felt it at the house. You never looked
never
at Mama and said, man, she must be going through something. Mama must have, you know, it was just a pleasant environment at home, and thank God for it every day. And I talked to a friend of mine today that heard the production guys, or that heard the song we did. And she said, Leon, I listened to it about 5 times. Then I let my rest of my family listen to it. And she said it just felt like your mother was everybody's mother that day, you know. Hearing y'all sing to your mother, and she said she cried, but she said it seemed like y'all's mother was everybody's mother, you know, who had a mother and was missing that day. And it's just a beautiful thing, guys. So thank you guys for being the good guys you are. I'll tell y'all that. I'll tell you guys this while I have you.
I had one more thing since you said she was everybody's mama. Or that was the feeling.
Yes, sir.
We are products of the village. You heard the African proverb, it takes the whole village to raise one child. We are products of the village. We saw the village functioning. Everyone in the village loved us. If it wasn't Mama, it was our grandparents. If it wasn't the grandparents, it was the neighbors across the street with Miss Bonner, Reverend Bell. Somebody was always watching our backs. And our mother was watching other children's backs. That was the work of the village. We are products of the village. Our mother, she exemplified the village. And we are just thankful to God that we are here to just be able to say what we're saying today. Yeah.
Hi, Weepy. Y'all remember the other families? Remember the other families? The Parsons up the street and the Poles down the road and the people on Mockingbird Hill. But everybody, like you said, Curtis, everybody was part of that village. Yes.
Exactly. The Duncans and everybody. I mean, because I know Greg Duncan, he has been making comments down there on Mockingbird Hill. Then we had taken over Richmond Street. You know, it was just.
The Lorraine,
the Parsons, the
Colsons, everybody. Man.
Yeah, the Poles. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Thank God for being a part of that. And if we're going to survive, guys, we got to find some kind of way to assimilate or recreate that village, because
the rebuild
things
the
are kind of getting kind of out of hand, guys. But like I said, thank you guys for being such good brothers and stuff. And I'll tell you this while I'm also speaking. On our last show, after the last show, a friend of mine called me and said, Leon, when I think of the Gatewoods, I always think of dignity and calmness and peace. She said, but last week, and I think she's getting ready to get another taste of it. But she said, last week, Leon, y'all kind of gave me a different opinion on y'all. I said, well, I'm going to tell you this. I said, well, I'm going to tell you this. You just saw our passion for justice. What you were feeling was our passion for righteousness and justice, because
when we see people worshiping evil, we know there's something very bad going on in the land. There's something very unnatural.
I like this transition. Go ahead. I like the transition. Go ahead.
Okay.
Evil in the land.
A segue. Boy, did a segue, didn't it?
Yeah, he is. We're ready. Go ahead.
See, but there's something wrong.
Yes, it is.
And when there's something wrong, the righteous and the right and the just must be as loud as the wrong. And if we are not,
down a little bit.
Well, let me fix it because I don't want nobody to miss me. Come on, hold on. Let me turn it back up.
Yeah, it seems like something got a little low.
Really? Did it feel that way?
Huh?
Anyway,
it could be my fault.
Can you guys hear me?
What is that punch?
Can you guys hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, good. Like I said, because if justice, righteousness, peace, and love does not speak up, the evil will reign.
Yeah.
That said, after watching last night's debate of the two contenders for president of the United States, I walked away feeling as strongly as ever that it is time for us to get off our rusty dusties. Because here, let me give you one statistic that bothers me, just like the first time I heard only 54% of the children in our school system could read on grade level, and only 3 out of 10 black boys are reading on grade level. A statistic I saw the other day, or that was presented to me the other day, said that around 4,500 black people voted in the last general election in Anson County, but over 9,000 did not vote. Now, that's Anson County. And when I tell people that, and they go like you just said, Robert, or whoever it was, said, and I said, but I'm going to tell you what you do. You go and look at the statistics from your community and see what they look like. I promise you, they'll either mirror them or be worse. And that is unacceptable. We cannot make it like this. If you think your vote does not count, why do you think they try to take it from you? If you think your vote does not count, why do you think that we had black people, we had ancestors dying and crying, being hanged and everything else you can imagine for trying to do it? What you got to say, Curtis?
I just want to talk just for a second about the debate. I think we need to have a conversation as a community, as a society, and as people who represent decency. It doesn't matter what your level of education is. It does not matter your socioeconomic status. It doesn't even matter whether you're Republican, black, white. This is about wrong or right. What we saw the other night, I think it represented about four things that we should be concerned about. We saw dumbness. We saw desperation. We saw deviousness. And we saw danger. With the president of the United States of America. And when you see those things, desperation, dumbness, deviousness and danger with the person who has access to the codes of nuclear weapons and the codes of the pulpit for morality and goodness. When you see those things raising their ugly head coming out of the president of the United States of America, whose first job, by the way, is to protect the American people and to protect the Constitution of the United States of America, also democracy. Those things he violated in every imaginable way. Put aside his rudeness. Put aside his craziness. We are looking at the endangerment of decency, democracy, we are looking at the danger of existence because, and I'm going to turn it over soon, but there are four things that the President of the United States did not address at a time where we are in the face or walking through the shadows of death. We have at least 200,000 dead from COVID that we know of. You know, we don't know all the people who died from COVID because you couldn't know that. They're talking about the ones they know. We know about 6 or 7 million that are infected that we know of. Your President of the United States of America, with 65 million people watching, did not address it. He did not address the economy. The economy where we have a downturn since we have not seen since 1947. He did not have the decency to address it. We have record numbers of
no
people
credit.
Dying.
You know
he didn't
why
have
he
the decency to address health care.
He
did not
address.
He didn't
because the people that are going to vote for him don't require him to. They don't
see,
care.
What I'm trying to say, that's what I'm saying. This is not about Republicans. This is not about a Democrat. I'm talking about the responsibility of the United States of America Commander-in-Chief. And what I'm saying to you is we need to put aside Republican right now. We need to put aside left wing, right wing, all this other stuff that creates confusion. I'm talking about a man that is leading this country to death. And people are not requiring him to address the matters and the concerns and the issues of the day that are a matter of life and death. And so what I'm saying to everyone is, if you did not know who you were going to vote for, you should know who you're going to vote against. And so I'm saying to you, you must vote this man out of office because it is a matter of survival.
It's a matter of life and death.
This
presidential historian that was on TV last night, I can't think of his name, but I'm sure y'all know who I'm talking about. But he said Joe Biden is not on the ballot. He said what's on the ballot is the American people.
Yeah.
He said all the American people willing to stand for this type of behavior from the Commander-in-Chief.
Right.
You know, no empathy for over 200,000 people dead, no empathy
right.
for 64 million people out of work, and no empathy for people that need affordable health care and trying to take them off in the middle of a pandemic, a man with a vile mouth, a man that's rude, a man that's narcissistic, a man that's petulant. And the list can just go on and on and on and on. And the
yeah,
way I saw it, I said, Donald Trump is, in summation, Donald Trump is the personification of everything that's bad.
Yeah. Everything mama taught us not to be, he is it.
That's like I kept telling my wife last night. I said, now, if you had a kid in school and he acted the way Donald Trump acted last night, would that be acceptable to you? No.
He'd stay in suspension.
He'll stay in suspension, and I'll put a whooping on his butt when he got home that he'll never forgotten. If I had a child that act that way in public, not only in school, but on anything.
I'm dumbfounded. I don't know what to say about the guy. But, he has not shown us anything new. And the reason, like I say, and as we all know, he's not going to change his ways because his base is not going to change their requirements of him. So he knows he's not getting any new votes.
And that's why
I know that he's not going to get any new votes.
This is not about whether you are Republican. This is not about whether you are black or white. This is about the survival of not only lives, but this guy declared war on a democracy that we claim that America is what supposedly make America great. This guy has declared war on the electoral process, the democracy that America's been trying to push down all the other nations' throats.
This guy is, he has declared a war on democracy.
So listen up, everybody. Donald Trump is no longer campaigning to be president of the United States. Donald Trump is constantly trying to figure out a way to steal the election. He is not even campaigning. He is working as you sleep, trying to find a way to delegitimize the election process and or steal the election. Nothing else
That's
is on his mind right now.
Right.
That's the war on democracy. He does not care. He is not campaigning. What he did last night couldn't have been trying to campaign. And I saw a group of people where Pence, what his name is, was going to come and speak to last night. It was like a watch party for the debate. And these people sitting there laughing and having a good time, enjoying that. I wish, and I'm going to shut up so Robert can talk. I'm going to shut up because I wish, I'm just going to give y'all my wish. I wish that people that want Donald Trump to be president could take him somewhere in a little state or in a state, if a state would hold all of them. We just donate that state to them and let them have him. I would do that. I would love that. And I wonder if they would go. They could just have him.
And Leon.
Let's give him Florida. Get all my friends out of Florida and just give them Florida. They love him.
Yeah, down there where they're going to have a lot of hurricanes.
Even the Latinos. Right.
But Leon, Robert Curtis, and you know one of the most disturbing, you were talking about statistics a while ago. Somebody brought up some statistics that they had heard recently about, voting, Leon, on 9,000 black folks in Anson County didn't vote. But a disturbing statistic that I heard last night said Donald Trump was seeing a rise in support among black people and Latinos. And they said,
I don't believe there's a rise in black people supporting Donald Trump.
I'm just telling what they said, and he said especially black men, and that was kind of disturbing, really.
I don't know but one.
I know two. I know two. That's too many.
True.
That's too many. I know two.
Hey, that's too many.
Yeah, way too many.
Yeah, Rob.
Let me tell you, I'm glad you guys made some points about the immoral character of the Trump character and his attempt to steal this election. But let me address one of the more sinister aspects of his candidacy and what his debate last night. And that's his alacrity to intimidate and bully. Anybody who's watched him over the years realize that the reason more people don't speak out against him is because, he threatens, he bullies, intimidates. Well, he has extended that to his followers. Just listen to this piece right here. This right here was the most concerning. And I'm going to say this to all the listeners out there. Stop saying that I'm afraid of what's going to happen or this scared me. We don't need men and women right now walking around afraid and scared. Go out here and vote and do something. Afraid talk. We don't have any time for that. We don't have any room for that. Grow a backbone. If you're afraid, go somewhere, do some push-ups, do some yoga, do some chanting, whatever you have to do. But you get out of this afraid, I'm afraid, I'm scared. I can't take that. I don't want to hear that come out of anybody else's mouth. Because they like that. They revel in that. They take joy and delight in that. So get that out of your vocabulary. So I want you to listen to this part right here. Just listen to this for a second.
You urge your supporters to stay calm during this extended period, not to engage in any civil unrest, and will you pledge tonight that you will not declare victory until the election has been independently certified? President Trump, you go first.
I'm urging my supporters to go into the polls and watch very carefully, because that's what has to happen. I am urging them to do it. As you know, today there was a big problem. In Philadelphia, they went in to watch. They were called poll watchers, a very safe, very nice thing. They were thrown out. They weren't allowed to watch. You know why? Because bad things happen in Philadelphia, bad things. And I am urging my people. I hope it's going to be a fair election. If it's a fair election, I am 100% on board. But if I see tens of thousands of ballots being manipulated, I can't go along with that.
Hear that last word, ladies and gentlemen. He said, I can't go along with that. He is basically telling you, he is telegraphing to you and the rest of the world, I am not going to accept the outcome of the election. And he's telling his supporters to go to the polls and intimidate would-be voters.
Right, which is a crime, voter intimidation.
That's what it is. That is brazen voter intimidation. He's trying to freak out brown people, freak out black people, anybody who might have some type of mark on their record, anybody who might be in trouble with immigration. He's sending out these men, and these racists and his followers to go to the polls and intimidate.
Yeah.
And he's saying at the same time, if you don't, if I happen to lose, I'm not going to go for that.
Yeah. And he's saying if he lost, somebody, he was cheated. He was cheated. He can't lose.
So that's what I'm saying
about the war on democracy is because, like you're saying, Robert, he's playing a dangerous game. He's playing with fire. But I'm glad you did put out that message about this fear thing because I just want to say this part about that too, Rob, too, trying to put a biblical perspective on it too because, you know, a lot of times people talk a lot about faith. But when it's time to use faith, they don't use it. When it's time to where a scripture should apply, you know, we always talk about these scriptures about, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of sound mind. And, you know, but a lot of times we are putting fear over our faith. And so
The
people of faith, to the people who really believe in God, this is your time. This is your time.
Yeah.
To stand, to be that tree that, like what they refer to in Jeremiah, that's planted by the waters, that will not be moved. And so when you hear people talking this crazy talk, like my brother just said, this is not the time for you to go and hide. You should see this as the time where you are walking through the shadows of death and you still fear no evil.
Because thou art
with us. We're on the right side of God. We're on the right side of history. We're on the right side of justice, and this is the time to stand.
And so when I hear men, I don't want to sound chauvinistic, but it really grates on me when I hear men saying, "Man, I heard that, and I just fear what I heard, or that scared me. That's scary." Man, let me tell you,
Lord of mercy.
We don't have time for our children, or people under your influence. To somebody else who's within your earshot, they ever hear the word fear come out of your mouth. Even if you fear, you need to go somewhere and pray it away, chant it away, whatever you have to do, because we need people right now who are willing to stand up for what's right.
Yep.
We don't need to be putting out into the atmosphere some type of fear or worrying about what's going to happen. No, if we do what's right now, we can stamp out what's going to happen. We can prevent it from happening. And you can't do that when your mind is occupied by fear.
Right, Rob. I'm going to bring in one more person, which is the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He said it best. He said the ultimate measure of a man, not when you stand during the time of comfort and convenience, because, you know, everybody can act like they're a leader when it's time for comfort and convenience, nothing's going on. He said the ultimate measure of man is where he stands during the time of challenge and controversy. We're in the time of challenge and controversy. And, Robert, this is the time for all people who stand for anything, whether you're woman, man, LGBTQ, whatever your sexual orientation or identification may be, this is your time to stand. And Donald Trump has just called you out. And if you're not standing now, then you may as well sit down and be quiet.
Go
ahead, Robert.
That was the part of the debate that I had to give particular attention to, because as a political scientist, there are certain you're imbued with a certain ability to read between the political tea leaves. And when you hear somebody who's sending out these signals, you're sending out people to go out to the polls to intimidate people. You're telling people, say, look, if I win, everything's okay, but if I lose, it's crooked. So bring on the dog. And so I'm not I'm not telling anybody to go out here and go onto an offensive or go be violent. Or I'm just saying stand up, do what we have to do right now so they wouldn't have to worry about that eventuality that may happen if this guy goes out here on election day and start acting the fool.
Yeah. Especially when he's telling these so-called Proud Boys and these other racist groups and racist terrorists
to stand back
but stand ready.
Yeah. Don't go anywhere. You can stand down now, but just stay ready in case we need you.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
But anyway, guys, I would say to this, we have a lot of work to do. I would say that this election is important. I mean, I know that some of these things sound cliche, but let's take somebody to the polls. Let's keep having discussions. Let's try to bring a few people who are, I don't want to say they're undecided because I'm not too sure about them, but I'm saying maybe they aren't ready to vote us. We do have quite a few of those undecided people. I'm convinced they're Trump voters. But we're talking about the people who may or may not vote. That's where we can have an immediate impact. Let's convince them that there's more at stake here than their little beliefs on whatever their little cause or their beliefs may be or whatever is preventing them. And some may have some legitimate concerns about there's the party. They may feel like the Democratic Party hasn't always done the bidding of black people or people of who need justice. We can have that debate for another day. But right now what we're facing is monumentally larger than anybody's individual concerns. So let's help them move beyond that into the voting booth.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you what we have going on, man, since you brought that up. Tomorrow, the Black Voters Matter caravan is coming through Waysville, the tour bus, coming through Anson County. This is a huge bus, man, huge, big wrap bus with power. The South is rising toward voting. Black Voters Matter all over it. Beautiful thing, man. Anyway, the North Carolina director, Ms. Danielle Brown, contacted me yesterday, and we had sent her an itinerary of events that we're doing as far as GOTV Get Out the Vote actions, and they're going to come join us on one of our GOTV events tomorrow. So they'll be arriving at the Hollis Center around 12 noon tomorrow, and we want to get a caravan behind this bus as it moves through Anson County, stopping at various locations in the neighborhood to get people to register to vote. As you may know, the last day to register to vote in North Carolina is around October next week. I think it's the 9th next week. So we're doing all we can to get people registered to vote now. And as soon as we get through this part, we're going to start getting people to vote. Early voting starts in Anson County on October the 15th through the 29th, I think. So this is the kind of work we're going to have to start doing. I mean, because Donald Trump is working on percentages. He's thinking in his head, if I can get a certain percentage of people, if I scare a certain percentage of them, if I can cheat a certain percentage of them, if I can whatever, he's working on percentages. He knows the margins are slim. He knows there are a lot of foolish people in America that will vote for him. And he's working on that percentage of those that will to kind of get them to stay home. Because the ones for him are going out there, they'll crawl on nails to get to him. So, and he knows that. He's already told them, if I shot your mom in the middle of the street, you still vote for me. They still vote for me. So they can't help themselves. I don't know what happened. What he did to them, I have no idea, but they cannot help themselves. So we just know how to do something to balance that out. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, man. I was just going to let you finish your thought, but I did want to throw in one more thing just to have this student of history over here. I'm going to drop this, and this is not, like I said, this is not fear-mongering, but I'm just going to tell you the importance of this election from a historical perspective. In the past, mm-hmm. when we've had fascism or downright genocide, there were two ingredients that were necessary. The first was that you had to have a militia on the ground who were sanctioned by the government, but they lacked power because the government was not on their side. It became a problem when the government and the violent militias were on the same team. Let's go back to Germany, 1939, the Brown Church. They were a militia. They started carrying out atrocities against the Jewish population, like the Kristallnacht. When they called it literally means Crystal Night, when they broke into the Jewish shop and started, you know, really slaughtering Jewish people. And then more recently we had the Interahamwe. That's the militia group in Rwanda that started the Rwanda genocide. In both of those cases, the government sided with the militias. We are seeing a dangerous leaning towards the United States government if Trump has his way, and unfair access to power, where once again the militias will have the backing of the government. And when that happens, folks, bad things happen.
That is true. Let me remind people right quick, Robert, that Black Voters Matter is a nonpartisan organization. They do not endorse candidates or parties, but they do fight voter suppression. So that's what we're basically doing. There's so many efforts to fight or to suppress the black vote, steal the black vote. They feel like it's necessary that we do something to make sure black people still understand the importance of their vote, and we do something to make them, to motivate us to continue voting because of things like you just said.
Hey, folks, take this thing seriously. I'm telling you, you got to take this thing seriously. This is more than just an election. We're talking about really the survival of this country that we call the United States of America. It's that serious.
Sound like I heard right. A dog barking. Which one is a dog, man? I thought I knew all your boys, what you had boys that had going on. I had a dog barking.
Yeah.
Who got a dog?
Well, look, man, I just want to plug in the fact that I want to speak to white people who may be listening. I don't want to assume that everybody that's listening to us, you're black. And I'm not going to assume that every white person is a racist. I'm going to say to white people, if you are not a racist, this is your time, because Trump wins. He can only do so through racists. Because he threw away every card but the race card last night. He threw away the economy card. He threw away the health care card. He threw away the COVID-19 card. The only card he held on to was the race card. And if white people do the right thing, there is no way Trump can win. Because he threw away every other card.
I would like to see black.
The only card he held on to is the race card. So, white America, if you're not racist, you have to vote on the right side. You have to vote against racism. I'm not that big of a Joe Biden fan, but you got to vote against blatant, conspicuous racism. You got to vote against hatred. You got to vote against the things that we are seeing coming out of the mouth of this dangerous man. And when I say dangerous, I'm not saying it to become fearful. I'm saying it so that you will become conscious, because I believe Dr. King when he said, if you have not found something worth dying for, you're not fit to live anyway. Thank you.
And the thing about it, and one of the commentators asked the question last night, it was a white commentator. He asked, the question was, some along the lines, what is it that black people are seeing that causing them to support Donald Trump? Because, you know, in the last election, it came out that 13% of black men voted for Donald Trump. You know, in a close election, that's enough to swing an election. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
And, but they pose the question, what is it that black people are seeing, black men particularly, what is it that they are seeing in Donald Trump? And the lady tried to answer the question, but she couldn't come up with anything. So in the end, she has basically said in a very nice way, just stupidity.
Right. Yeah. There's nothing left that's decent in the vote in the Trump camp. He didn't leave any form of decency.
Well, let's talk about something.
What about Mahomes, man?
Yeah, man.
Y'all be watching football.
I watched the Ravens and the Chiefs that last night. Monday night.
Yeah.
That was a big game.
Y'all been watching NBA? Y'all been watching?
You know what, Curtis, Lee, and Robert, and all the radio listeners out there, I watched a portion of the first football game that I've watched this season. Funny. And Leon, I'm going to have to say it was because of you. I couldn't even watch the football. But I've been so consumed and so, I'm not going to go as far as say as depressed, but so concerned about this COVID-19 that I just haven't seen, you know, things like football and basketball that important. Because I read somewhere, they say that's one of the things that oppressors use to distract people from the real issues of the day is through sports. You know, it's like, for example, in the Roman Empire, for example, you know, they always had the gladiators to come out and fight. And, of course, even during World War II, Germany had, held the Olympics, in Germany, of course, and that's when Jesse Owens made his famous records. But I mean, the sports are fine, but right now I think we have issues at hand that are just so important that we need to, like I said, we need to, just like everybody who's been calling my office, I've been telling them to vote. Everybody I talk to, I tell them to vote. And I talked to a young lady tonight I was so impressed with, because she's only like 34 years old, and I asked her had she voted. She said, I hadn't voted yet, but I'm going to vote the day of the election. Why are you going to vote the day of the election? She said, because I'm volunteering at the polls. Man, I felt so refreshed when I heard that. You know, so we got a lot of young people that are stepping up to the plate, and that's what we're going to need if we're going to turn this thing around. And, of course, and right now, just like Michelle Obama said, we have to vote as if our life depends on it, and it does.
Look like Bryn Lee has a question, a comment over there. Going to bring her in, Leon?
Yeah, Robert. Yeah, man, do that. Absolutely.
Bryn Lee, you have the floor. Welcome to the Brothers Real.
I wanted to say something about you all as a whole family. Of the weekend of your mom.
Yeah.
Okay. I was so blown away with it, with the song and everything, with you honoring her like y'all did. And I want to say thank you, because that's what you're supposed to, because your mom gave up a lot to raise that many children and do what she did. I remember her when I used to come play with y'all's sister, Angela. So she was, like you said, she was a mom of the 52. She was the mother of 52. Mm-hmm. And she showed love. And with y'all doing what y'all did, y'all showed how she was, that she was a giving lady. And I just want to say thank you for the song. That song touched me. And thank you for just being there, showing up for her 100th birthday. Because, like, I was thinking, I said, if my mom would have lived, she would have been 100. Her birthday was September the 16th. She would have been 100. But your mama lived, and that is a blessing. Because y'all still have her there, and with y'all giving her the honor and the praise, because it tells you to give your parents that while they are living, because once they're gone, they're gone. But I just want to say thank you to all of y'all for honoring your mom.
Oh, that's so great. We love you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh,
Chuck. Thank
you. Don't cry.
Thank you, sister. Brenda.
Hey,
don't cry, because I was crying that when I heard that song. That song, I'm like... And then with your brother speaking about the 35 biscuit and the whole cake, I don't remember whole cake because I was too smart. I don't remember that, but the biscuit, I remember my mom cooking that. And then showing her in the kitchen making that, it was just, I just want to say thank you to y'all.
Hey, Brandon, did your mom cook 35 of them, though?
No, she didn't cook 35. She did not cook that. That's a lot of bread to cook. But she didn't do 35.
Man.
She didn't cook.
And then a whole cake.
She didn't
that.
Yeah, that's what I said. That is a lot.
How many people in your family, Brenda, how many people in your family?
It was 7. My mom had 2 to die. So we had 7. But my mom
didn't
have
all 17 on her head. She didn't even 17 on her head.
But see, my mom didn't have them all together, cause she had she had one set, and by the time she had us, the one set had left, so she just had us at the house, me and my brothers.
Yeah, man, my mom had 14 children at one time.
Let them like,
hey,
but...
fellas,
she did spread them out a little bit, didn't she?
Hey, everybody.
Yeah,
you know,
it looked like they had 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, that's a lot. My mama had the 6, and then she had 3. So, have
what
7, 7.
This? Hey, check this out.
We got
here.
Yeah, we
hearing them.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, I wanted to say this, you know, and to Brenda and everybody who's listening, you know, there was a time when whether it was my father or mother, the family had a rotation going where we took care of mother, you know, especially if there was someone living in distance. Of course, you can't count people like Robert or whatever, but he did what he could. But my point is there was a rotation of caregivers once they got to the point, let's just say in the 90s, like daddy and mama, where they got to the point where they needed some backup, and the family rotated. But over the last couple of years, and especially since COVID, my sister Cynthia Evelyn Allison Gatewood, has basically been mother's caregiver during this period. And I just want to say to Cynthia, and I know it, probably everyone in the household, whether Todd or whomever there, but with Cynthia, we really, really owe her so much gratitude until, you know, it's inexplicable. To do while we had to basically stay away because of COVID. And so we are thankful for siblings like her. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
I want to say thank you to Brenlee for those really kind words. You know, sometimes when you do things like that, you're not really doing it for praise, but it's always nice to know people take notice, and particularly when that includes our mom, because we did it for her. And I'm glad that we were able to maybe help some other people who have parents that they want to show a little love for, that we're willing to share our song and our sentiments with all the parents of the world. I think it's very very striking that Brenda's mom was only 10 days away from our mom in age. That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you for those kind words. And
I want to give a special shout out to my wife and my daughter, because my wife she primarily coordinated everything, and of course, and she's good at doing that kind of stuff, and she did a fantastic job, and she was very enthusiastic about getting it done.
Yes, she did.
And I want to give a shout out to my daughter Tamika up in Maryland, cause she all the decorations and balloons and stuff you all saw, she paid for it. And
did she do that?
Tamika,
you talking about Tamika?
Yeah, my daughter Tamika up in Maryland. Yeah. All the decorations,
man,
all the stuff.
I always miss you, especially. You know what, Joe? Ever since she told me, I'm going to wait on the applause to quit.
Oh,
but ever since she told me that when I got old, she was going to take care of me, I have always had a special place in my heart for her.
Yeah.
But now that I'm getting old, I have noticed, now that I'm really getting old, you're a little shy. She don't bring it up as much.
Well, you know, kids get all kinds of stuff when they're 5 years old.
She don't bring it up as much. She says, Father Gail, you remember when you told me when I get old, you going to take care of me?
Well,
how's the
thing about
it,
then? You were just being politically correct then because she didn't know she was going to have a. Because she wasn't thinking about the fact she was going to take care of her daddy. And you had trying to take care of two old men at the same time. You know, that's a job.
Well, I'm just telling you what I told you. I have a verbal contract.
Okay. I just hope you know that.
Oh, boys, our time has run out. It's been live, guys. Always live. It's always great talking to the brothers. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Brothers for Real, the Brothers for Real After the Debate radio show. And we appreciate you guys calling in. We're getting ready to get the heck out of here, man, because I got a drink to drink.
Hey, Leon, let me tell y'all something before we go. Y'all know what I'm doing.
What you doing?
I'm cooking on the grill. I'm cooking on the grill.
Wow. Man, you trying to be funny, man.
Well,
that wasn't even right.
I'm cooking on the grill.
I know you.
You know why I'm cooking on the grill?
You know what I'm going to do?
You know
what
I'm
going to
do?
I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and cook on my grill. I got
a grill. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to do, encourage everybody to go cook on the grill. But anyway, the reason I'm cooking on the grill because generally we have, when I cook on the weekend, I have enough food to last for the week. But when Seth told me Robert was coming to town, I told Seth, I said, I normally cook on the weekend anyway. I said, Robert is coming to town. I said, I'm going to go get on the grill now. So when you get here, you have something. And that thing, I know Dan got the word and Leon got the word. And man, we would have a good time. And I thank you, boys. I wish it could have been that Curtis. I wish it could have been that J.C. Clyde and all the other family. But thank God that we were together that day.
It was a good time.
So you didn't have any leftovers, so you got to cook again.
I didn't get the word.
That's the point I was making.
All right.
That's the bottom line.
Get to Burlington.
Hold up, man.
Robert,
hold up, man. Daniel just came in, man. Let's talk to Daniel right
quick.
Hey,
man.
Hey, Daniel. Daniel the man. He just want to put that video thing together. Huh?
Yeah, Daniel.
Y'all some brothers for real.
Man, yep. I did mean to say something about that song, man. Daniel did that thing. He had us sounding like we could sing.
That thing is, man, y'all boys finally reach your potential.
You
gotta reach y'all potential on that one.
He did some new edition stuff back there.
Let me tell you what one of my buddies said, man. He was just as sincere as he could be. He said, man, your brother Dane reminded me of one of my music teachers. Said she could make anybody sound like they could sing.
Wait a minute, man.
He just brought it out like that, man. I'm like,
man, you going to mess us up.
Wait a minute.
I
want to say, thank you, Daniel.
Can you cut that apart?
What's that?
That statement. Is that
right?
Can you get that part
out? Some...
We need to do some editing. We need to do some editing because we got the people thinking we can sing. What's up?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you, Miss Smoke.
That can be a problem.
All right, boy. We're out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. See y'all next Wednesday. Go, bro.
Well, you need to end this thing.
Get some vote.
Supposed to end this thing with Mama. Mama gave me life.
Lord, hallelujah. Right here, right now.
I love you.
Put your hands together, people. Put your boats together. Put your boats together.
Peace.
All right, boys, I'm out. God bless you, brothers. Y'all have a good one.